Good evening. I have always enjoyed preparing this Sunday night sermon. It always comes February every year. And I always am very thankful for the elders letting me do this and putting me on the list. And I feel like every time I get up here, I talk about something that I need the most. And I talk about something that I need the most attention on, that I need to really focus on myself. And I hope that you can get some things from my study. And I've really enjoyed putting this one together. As you all know, I am a music teacher. I teach band. And about a week and a half ago, you may have heard, you may have seen on Facebook or anything, my social media, that I took a trip to New Orleans and with the high school marching band, and there was one full charter bus of 55 chaperones and students. And we drove through the night. The first night, spent a couple days in New Orleans, experienced the city. We marched in a parade. We performed at Jackson Square. It was a really great event for, I know for my students, as well for myself. I had a really great time. The 5 mile parade was pretty long, but it was really, really fun. We had really good food, and it was just a great trip. And by the end of it, we were all exhausted. I was just drained out. And we drove through the night again to get back. And I don't know if any of you have been on a charter bus for an extended amount of time. But being on a charter bus for about 13 hours is something I hope that not everybody has to do. It's not the most comfortable thing. I just remember closing my eyes and then opening them, and then 2 hours would go by. I'd close my eyes again, open them again. About 2 hours would go by again. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I opened my eyes and I looked around, and not a single person was awake on this bus. I was in the middle. We had a director in the front, and I was in the middle, and, you know, making sure all the kids were doing everything they were supposed to. And I looked around, and not a single person was awake. It was me and the bus driver. And I sat there and thought, wow, what a crazy thought. There's one person responsible in getting us home that evening, and we are completely in his hands of this one man, this bus driver. His name was Terrence. Awesome guy. We love Terrence. He could have taken us somewhere else. He could have fallen asleep himself, but just the thought that this one man is going to be taking us back here it just struck me, and I sat there and I was like, this is exactly what I'm going to talk about. I immediately thought, you know, this is exactly what I'm going to talk about this Sunday when we got back, because in my life, you know, I have not only abandoned my trust in God, but thought it'd be better to lean on my own self and create solutions and answers. I trusted so much that this bus driver would get me back in one place that it was so much I didn't even think about it. And tonight I really want to talk about how we can create an unwavering trust in our Lord, how we can create something that's so strong that we don't even have to think about our trust in something that is so wonderful. And so that's what I want to talk about, our unwavering trust in Lord, and what the benefits are from truly giving all of ourself to Him. And of course, there's many things that our Lord gives us by trusting Him. And like any good sermon, though, I just want to talk about three. So my first one, with an unwavering trust in our Lord, we can conquer any battle. David has always been, in my mind, you know, just this whole entire past year, in the upstairs class in the fall, we talked about lessons that you can learn from David. Right now, we're going through the Psalms, and most of them, I would say, were from David. And David's trust in the Lord has always astonished me. In every trial, in every tribulation, and at a very young age, he demonstrated an unwavering trust in God. And I think, you know, this story that I'm about to talk about is becoming my favorite Bible story, and I'm always drawn to it, and it's the story of David and Goliath. And if you would turn to me to 1 Samuel 17, we're going to talk a little bit about David's trust in God through this battle with Goliath. Picking up in verse 31, earlier David had made his way to this camp where Goliath was defying the ranks of Israel, and his outrage was heard among the men, and Saul eventually sent for him. So picking up in verse 31 of 1 Samuel 17, verse 31 says, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" And continuing on, Saul gives him this armor, and he does not like it. David immediately takes it off. It says in vain he wanted to go, because he had not tested with these. In verse 39, it says, David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested with them." And finally, it talks about him gathering the five stones and his sling, and he went on to face Goliath. And that is something that's really important to think about and talk about, is that what David had focused and tested on were the things that he had taken to battle himself. And the thing that is not said in here, but is all encompassing it, is that David's trust in God was going to take him through any battle that he was facing. So picking up in 43 and going on, it says, "And the Philistine said to David," after David goes down and to the Philistine, and he said, "Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." When David comes with the stronger thing, this thing that's stronger than any man could have fashioned, that any person could have made, it was completely far better than anything Goliath had come up with. And that thing was his trust in God. That thing was his belief that God would get him through this battle. You know, we are all witnesses of God getting us out of very bad situations. And I think a lot of times when we are going through those things, it's not till the very end of that what we've accomplished that we see what God has actually done for us. But when we see David from before he even faced Goliath, that he had that unwavering trust in God. You know, in verse 37 of 17, it says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David had been in many battles before, like ones with lions and bears, and knew that God would deliver him. And I think the hard thing for us to take in is how many times have we entered a new battle with previous experience and yet relied on our own self to get through it. And the amazing thing is that we never have to. We never have to rely on ourselves. And David recognized this really early in his life. And that's such a great example for us. I think David really says it great in Psalm 20. So if you would turn me there, Psalm 20, this is a psalm I really like. Back home, we have a song that we sing that that goes along with this psalm. Psalm 20 says, and I'll read the whole thing. It's only a couple verses, but Psalm 20 says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard you with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright." With an unwavering trust in our Lord, we can conquer any battle, any circumstance, with an unwavering trust. We can also eliminate our worries and fears. Now, I find myself talking and thinking about and reading Matthew 6 constantly, especially when it talks about my future. And I worry often about what my life will hold and what steps I need to take to get there. And I just find myself in this rabbit hole of just not trusting that God will provide for me. I like everything to be figured out and immediately given to me on this giant silver platter, and that's just not a reality. And maybe some of you can relate, but I just get so impatient waiting for answers. And that's selfish of me. God has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. Why should I be so quick to give up on him? Why should I ever worry that he will? You know, we talked about this morning, every single person in here has experienced worry and anxiety. And I love what Adam said, if you figured out how to not worry, just write a book and give it to me first. I really appreciate that. But if you would turn with me to Matthew 6, I actually want to look at the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, Jesus lays out this incredible blueprint of how to pray and what to pray for. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll just read the whole Lord's Prayer. And starting in chapter 9, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And I just want to pull from the middle of this. And while there's so many things you can learn just from each statement in this Lord's Prayer, I want to look at this one right in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." And I find it incredibly comforting that when the Lord taught us how to pray, that he showed us to ask for the things that we need. He said that if we ask for these things, then he will give it to us as well. And I believe that this request goes beyond food, of course, but in all our worries and all of our fears, and we are told to cast those onto him, and we have a God that listens and hears us. And how comforting is that to know that even if we go through these worries or we go through these anxieties, we can throw them onto him and he can give us comfort and peace. Philippians 4:6, we mentioned this morning in Adam's lesson. I'd love to read it again. It's such a powerful verse. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." If you turn me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 through 7. Again, Peter talks about prayer and this anxiety that we can give to our God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the prayer time he may at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." And that's another comforting thing, is that whenever we feel this worry, we can trust that God cares for us. We can trust that he hears us. And in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and I think this solidifies this thought here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 through 15. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that itself is a wonderful statement of faith. And this is the confidence, 14, that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And this literally says that God hears us. God will answer our prayers. God will care for us. And it's having that unwavering trust in our Lord that really eliminates any worry of anything that we can go through. The comforting thing for me, knowing that God wanted us to cast our anxieties on him, makes me feel wonderful. It makes me feel great. And I hope it is the same for you. With an unwavering trust in our Lord, we can eliminate these worries and these fears. And finally, with an unwavering trust in our Lord, we can have peace. And this peace that we talked about this morning is something that surpasses all understanding. This peace that knowing that we have this hope of eternal life with God, that we have, that we're able to know that we are His and that we have somebody that we can go to in every situation. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8. It's just the best. I love Romans 8. What more can we say? Every time I read this passage, it just feels like I take this biggest breath and just let it out. And the peace of knowing that our Lord knows us, that our Lord loves us, that he died for us, that he was raised, should show us that trusting him is the absolute wisest thing that we can do. There's no other thing than our Lord that we can turn to for anything and have a complete and wonderful answer to. This lesson is not anything new to us. In fact, we talked a lot about this morning. The word trust in this lesson could have been completely changed to the word faith. And it could, work both ways. And I think that the reason this is preached on so much is because we as Christians fail to recognize how truly, just important it is in our lives and how much this truly means. I know I do sometimes. Our trust in the Lord is an essential part in our Christian walk. And without it, we are walking blindly. We talk and talk about it and just saying, yes, trust in the Lord, build your faith, do all this. But if we aren't acting on what we're talking about, it's pointless. If we aren't digging into the Word, if we aren't actively studying what we're doing, if we aren't getting together with our people, what are we doing? Let us all strive to have that unwavering trust. Let us not worry that he is not going to forsake us. Let us go into every single battle that we have knowing that God is able to get us through it. And tonight, if you have found your trust to be wavering, let's get it back to where it should be. There are many here willing to study with you and increase your faith and trust in Him. I personally am beyond thankful to the Christians here who have studied with me and have found my faith when I found my faith to be wavering. If you're not a Christian, it is my prayer and my hope that you become one today. Enter into His fold and find out what trusting in God can do for you. Believe in Jesus. Believe that He is the Son of God, that He came to this world and died for us, that He rose up from the dead and now reigns at the right hand of God. Confess that faith in Him. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live a life worthy of the calling. Trust in God. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as together we stand and sing.